Across the court a great door at the foot of the tower stood half open, and a red light came through. A large orc lay dead upon the threshold. Sam sprang over the body and went in, and then he peered about at a loss. A wide and echoing passage led back from the door towards the mountainside. It was dimly lit with torches flaring in brackets on the walls, but its distant end was lost in gloom. Many doors and openings could be seen on this side and that, but it was empty save for two or three more bodies sprawling on the floor. From what he had heard of the captain's talk, Sam knew that, dead or alive, Frodo would most likely be found in a chamber high up in the turret far above, but he might search for a day before he found the way. "It'll be near the back, I guess," Sam muttered. "The whole tower climbs backwards like, and anyway, I'd better follow these lights." He advanced down the passage, but slowly now, each step more reluctant. Terror was beginning to grip him again. There was no sound save the rap of his feet, which seemed to grow to an echoing noise like the slapping of great hands upon the stones. The dead bodies, the emptiness, the dank black walls that in the torchlight seemed to drip with blood, the fear of sudden death lurking in doorway or shadow, and behind all his mind the waiting, watchful malice at the gate. It was almost more than he could screw himself to face. He would have welcomed a fight, with not too many enemies at a time, rather than this hideous brooding uncertainty. He forced himself to think of Frodo, lying bound or in pain or dead somewhere in this dreadful place. He went on. He had passed beyond the torchlight, almost to a great arched door at the end of the passage, the inner side of the undergate, as he rightly guessed, when there came from high above a dreadful choking shriek. He stopped short. Then he heard feet coming. Someone was running in great haste down an echoing stairway overhead. His will was too weak and slow to restrain his hand. It dragged at the chain and clutched the ring. But Sam didn't put it on, for even as he clasped it to his breast, an orc came clattering down. Leaping out of a dark opening at the right, it ran towards him. It was no more than 6 paces from him when, lifting its head, it saw him, and Sam could hear its gasping breath and see the glare of its bloodshot eyes. It stopped short, aghast, for what it saw was not a small, frightened hobbit trying to hold a steady sword. It saw a great silent shape, cloaked in a grey shadow, looming against the wavering light behind. In one hand it held a sword, the very light of which was a bitter pain. The other was clutched at its breast, but held concealed some nameless menace of power and doom. For a moment the orc crouched, and then with a hideous yelp of fear it turned and fled back as it had come. Never was any dog more heartened when its enemy turned tail than Sam at this unexpected flight. With a shout he gave chase. "Yes, the elf warrior is loose," he cried. "I'm coming! Just you show me the way up, or I'll skin you!" But the orc was in its own haunts, nimble and well-fed. Sam was a stranger, hungry and weary. The stairs were high and steep and winding. Sam's breath began to come in gasps. The orc had soon passed out of sight, and now only faintly could be heard the slapping of its feet as it went on and up. Every now and again it gave a yell, and the echo ran along the walls, but slowly all sound of it died away. Sam plodded on. He felt that he was on the right road, and his spirits had risen a good deal. He thrust the ring away and tightened his belt. "Well, well," he said, "if only they all take such a dislike to me and my sting, this may turn out better than I hoped. And anyway, it looks as if Shagrat, Gorbag, and company have done nearly all my job for me. Except for that little frightened rat, I do believe there's nobody left alive in the place." And with that he stopped, brought up hard, as if he had hit his head against the stone wall. The full meaning of what he had said struck him like a blow. Nobody left alive. Whose had been the horrible dying shriek? "Frodo! Frodo! Master!" he cried, half sobbing. "If they've killed you, what shall I do? Well, I'm coming at last, right to the top, to see what I must." Up, up he went. It was dark, save for an occasional torch flaring at a turn, or beside some opening that led into the higher levels of the tower. Sam tried to count the steps, but after 200 he lost his reckoning. He was moving quietly now, for he thought that he could hear the sound of voices talking, still some way above. More than one rat remained alive, it seemed. All at once, when he felt that he could pump out no more breath, nor force his knees to bend again, the stare ended. He stood still. The voices were now loud and near. Sam peered about. He had climbed right to the flat roof of the third and highest tier of the tower, an open space about 20 yards across with a low parapet. There the stair was covered by a small domed chamber in the midst of the roof, with low doors facing east and west. Eastward Sam could see the plain of Mordor vast and dark below, and the burning mountain far away. A fresh turmoil was surging in its deep wells, and the rivers of fire blazed so fiercely that even at this distance of many miles the light of them lit the tower top with a red glare. Westward the view was blocked by the base of the great turret that stood at the back of this upper court, and reared its horn high above the crest of the encircling hills. Light gleamed in a window slit. Its door was not 10 yards from where Sam stood. It was open but dark, and from just within its shadow the voices came. At first Sam didn't listen. He took a pace out of the eastward door and looked about. At once he saw that up here the fighting had been fiercest. All the court was choked with dead orcs or their severed and scattered heads and limbs. The place stank of death. A snarl, followed by a blow and a cry, sent him darting back into hiding. An orc voice rose in anger, and he knew it again at once. Harsh, brutal, cold. It was Shagrat speaking, captain of the tower.
"You won't go again, you say? Curse you, Snagger, you little maggot! If you think I'm so damaged that it's safe to flout me, you're mistaken. Come here, and I'll squeeze your eyes out, like I did to Radbug just now. And when some new lads come, I'll deal with you. I'll send you to Shelob."
"They won't come, not before they're dead anyway," answered Snagger surlily. "I've told you twice that Gorbag's swine got to the gate first, and none of ours got out. Lugduff and Musgash ran through, but they were shot. I saw it from a window, I tell you, and they were the last."
"Then you must go. I must stay here anyway, but I'm hurt. The black pits take the filthy rebel Gorbag."
Shagrat's voice trailed off into a string of foul names and curses.
"I gave him better than I got, but he knifed me, the dung, before I throttled him. You must go, or I'll eat you. News must get through to Lugmoors, or we'll both be for the black pits. Yes, you too. You won't escape by skulking here."
"I'm not going down those stairs again," growled Snagger. "Be your captain or no. Nah, keep your hands off your knife, or I'll put an arrow in your guts. You won't be a captain long when they hear about all these goings on. I've fought for the tower against those stinking Morgul rats, but a nice mess you two precious captains have made of things, fighting over the swag."
"That's enough from you," snarled Shagrat. "I had my orders. It was Gorbag started it, trying to pinch that pretty shirt."
"Well, you put his back up, being so high and mighty. And he had more sense than you, anyway. He told you more than once that the most dangerous of these spies was still loose, and you wouldn't listen. And you won't listen now. Gorbag was right, I tell you. There's a great fighter about, one of those bloody-handed elves, or one of the filthy Tarks. He's coming here, I tell you. You heard the bell? He's got past the watchers, and that's Tark's work. He's on the stairs, and until he's off them, I'm not going down. Not if you were a Nazgul, I wouldn't."
"So that's it, is it?"
yelled Shagrat.
You'll do this, and you'll not do that. And when he does come, you'll bolt and leave me. No, you won't. I'll put red maggot holes in your belly first.
Out of the turret door the smaller orc came flying. Behind him came Shagrat, a large orc with long arms that, as he ran crouching, reached to the ground. But one arm hung limp and seemed to be bleeding. The other hugged a large black bundle. In the red glare, Sam, cowering behind the stair door, caught a glimpse of his evil face as it passed. It was scored as if by rending claws and smeared with blood. Slaver dripped from its protruding fangs. The mouth snarled like an animal. As far as Sam could see, Shagrat hunted Snarg around the roof, until, ducking and eluding him, the smaller orc, with a yelp, darted back into the turret and disappeared. Then Shagrat halted. Out of the eastward door, Sam could see him now by the parapet, panting, his left claw clenching and unclenching feebly. He put the bundle on the floor, and with his right claw drew out a long red knife and spat on it. Going to the parapet, he leaned over, looking down into the outer court far below. Twice he shouted, but no answer came. Suddenly, as Shagrat was stooped over the battlement, his back to the rooftop, Sam, to his amazement, saw that one of the sprawling bodies was moving. It was crawling. It put out a claw and clutched the bundle. It staggered up. In its other hand it held a broad-headed spear with a short broken haft. It was poised for a stabbing thrust. But at that very moment a hiss escaped its teeth, a gasp of pain or hate. Quick as a snake, Shagrat slipped aside, twisted round, and drove his knife into his enemy's throat.
"Got you, Gorbag!" he cried. "Not quite dead, eh? Well, I'll finish my job now."
He sprang on to the fallen body, and stamped and trampled it in his fury, stooping now and again to stab and slash it with his knife. Satisfied at last, he threw back his head and let out a horrible gurgling yell of triumph. Then he licked his knife and put it between his teeth, and catching up the bundle, he came loping towards the near door of the stairs. Sam had no time to think. He might have slipped out of the other door, but hardly without being seen, and he could not have played hide-and-seek with this hideous orc for long. He did what was probably the best thing he could have done. He sprang out to meet Shagrat with a shout. He was no longer holding the ring, but it was there, a hidden power, a cowing menace to the slaves of Mordor, and in his hand was Sting, and its light smote the eyes of the orc like the glitter of cruel stars in the terrible elf countries, the dream of which was a cold fear to all his kind. And Shagrat could not both fight and keep hold of his treasure. He stopped, growling, baring his fangs. Then once more, orc fashion, he leapt aside, and as Sam sprang at him, using the heavy bundle as both shield and weapon, he thrust it hard into his enemy's face. Sam staggered, and before he could recover, Shagrat darted past and down the stairs. Sam ran after him, cursing, but he didn't go far. Soon the thought of Frodo returned to him, and he remembered that the other orc had gone back into the turret. Here was another dreadful choice, and he had no time to ponder it. If Shagrat got away, he would soon get help and come back. But if Sam pursued him, the other orc might do some horrible deed up there. And anyway, Sam might miss Shagrat or be killed by him. He turned quickly and ran back up the stairs.
"Wrong again, I expect," he sighed. "But it's my job to go right up to the top first, whatever happens afterwards."
Away below, Shagrat went leaping down the stairs and out over the court and through the gate, bearing his precious burden. If Sam could have seen him and known the grief that his escape would bring, he might have quailed. But now his mind was set on the last stage of his search. He came cautiously to the turret door and stepped inside. It opened into darkness, but soon his staring eyes were aware of a dim light at his right hand. It came from an opening that led to another stairway, dark and narrow. It appeared to go winding up the turret along the inside of its round outer wall. A torch was glimmering from somewhere up above. Softly Sam began to climb. He came to the guttering torch, fixed above a door on his left, that faced a window slit looking out westward. One of the red eyes that he and Frodo had seen from down below by the tunnel's mouth. Quickly Sam passed the door and hurried on to the second story, dreading at any moment to be attacked and to feel throttling fingers seize his throat from behind. He came next to a window, looking east, and another torch above the door to a passage through the middle of the turret. The door was open, the passage dark save for the glimmer of the torch and the red glare from outside filtering through the window slit. But here the stair stopped and climbed no further. Sam crept into the passage. On either side there was a low door. Both were closed and locked. There was no sound at all.
"A dead end," muttered Sam. "And after all my climb, this can't be the top of the tower. But what can I do now?"
He ran back to the lower story and tried the door. It would not move. He ran up again, and sweat began to trickle down his face. He felt that even minutes were precious, but one by one they escaped, and he could do nothing. He cared no longer for Shagrat or Snagger or any other orc that was ever spawned. He longed only for his master, for one sight of his face or one touch of his hand. At last, weary and feeling finally defeated, he sat on a step below the level of the passage floor and bowed his head into his hands. It was quiet, horribly quiet. The torch, that was already burning low when he arrived, sputtered and went out, and he felt the darkness cover him like a tide. And then softly, to his own surprise, there at the vain end of his long journey and his grief, moved by what thought in his heart he could not tell, Sam began to sing. His voice sounded thin and quavering in the cold dark tower, the voice of a forlorn and weary hobbit that no listening orc could possibly mistake for the clear song of an elven lord. He murmured old childish tunes out of the shower, and snatches of Mr. Bilbo's rhymes that came into his mind like fleeting glimpses of the country of his home. And then suddenly new strength rose in him, and his voice rang out, while words of his own came unbidden to fit the simple tune.